It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading with the 13th verse. We're actually down into the 15th verse, but we're going to start reading with verse 13. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 is where we're going to start today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address here at the church is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it's Parkview Bible Church, or it'd be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. We'd love to hear from you. And now let's begin with the reading of the Scripture. Get right down to the study today. Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 13. Matthew 5, 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we're going to stop there with that. It's only a couple of verses of Scripture, but there is so much in verse 15 and 16 that we're going to enjoy today. So let's begin with prayer before we start the study. Father, I thank and praise you for the opportunity to open your precious word and to enjoy this precious radio program and radio ministry that we have. And I just ask that you'll take your word out to all that are listening today. Touch their hearts with your word, whatever the application needs to be, whether it's growth or whether it's to be lifted up, whether it's to be saved, whatever it may be, Father, please, that you just make it so easy and so clear with your Spirit bringing them to you, that they would be born again and be a child of God and serve you and enjoy being a Christian. It's the only hope and only joy that can be found in this world. So please, just guide and lead each and every day. Protect us and just speak to us now as we enjoy this wonderful study. And again, most of all, to begin with, start at the cross where your Son Jesus died. That's the beginning. That's where he sacrificed his life for ours. Speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin the study, it's such a joy to look through these precious, simple words. Sometimes folks, and especially preachers, they use big words and hoping that everybody will understand, and we need to keep it so simple that a child can understand, anyone can understand, and will be blessed by God's Word and by hearing God's Word. And so we need to understand as we look at this here that, again, just in review very shortly, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. There is a purpose for that. Number one, it can be seen from a great distance. Number two, it will could mean protection. If you're a weary traveler and you see the light of that city at the night, you know the distance you have to travel, and it can be found. And so it is common in the Lord's day that the cities would be built up on a hill, and also for the protection of the city from the enemy. They can also see the enemy coming. And so it's the purpose is that it can be seen. And light attracts attention, and we need to understand that. It should not be, it cannot be ignored, and we need to look to the light. And of course, here we're looking at the light of the Lord Jesus that it's speaking of. And in this dispensation of grace, there is no such thing, or there's no room for a secret disciple. So understand that. Let's come out. Let's speak the Word of God, and that's what we're going to spend the time today in doing, is in that 16th verse, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. We're going to enjoy that today. So as we begin here, if we are born again, the world will see that we are different. And it is a very noticeable difference. It should be. A Christian might be ridiculed, might be laughed at for their differences. Yet when it comes right down to a time when the other individual finds themselves in trouble, or maybe death in the family, there's something that takes place, that's when they will come, because they see your works. And that's the way it should be. When they see that they don't know where to turn and don't know what to do, many times that's when they come. And we should receive them and speak to them with all the love of Christ to help them and bring them too, as well, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they should see that works. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It's just a simple study today, and we just love the Word of God and love studying the Word of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Oh, that is a wonderful verse of Scripture. Whether you're a learned, educated person, or you're unlearned and uneducated, when we spend time with Jesus, there's no difference between us, because the Lord Jesus will show us His power and His strength, and we will shine with His light. And truly, truly be a wise man the day that we turn and look to the Lord Jesus. What a sweet verse of Scripture. And again, that's Acts 4:13. As the lights of the world, we are intended to illuminate and to give light to others. Now, we shall be set up as lights. Christ has lighted these candles. They have lighted us. We're born again. They shall not be put under a bushel, not be confined inside the church walls, but shall be sent into all the world. The churches are the candlestick, the golden candlesticks, in which the light is placed and carried out. When we talk about the candlestick there, and if you've been with this program very long, why, you'll know that I often refer to a tent-like building that's called the tabernacle. You'll find its building instructions and its construction back in the book of Exodus. We find in the precious book of Exodus the description of this building, and there is two rooms, a holy place and the Holy of Holies. It's not a very big building. It's about 30 foot long and 15 foot wide is the first room, and then there's a second room that's beyond that that's 15 by 15, has a 15 foot ceiling height as well. And so it is as tall as it is wide, and especially the Holy of Holies is just a cube. It's 15 by 15 by 15. As you go into the first room, the room that's 30 by 15, there is a lampstand, a table of showbread, and an incense altar. And we're not going to take time to describe all those things, but in order to see in this room, there is no light from the outside. The only way to see is because of this lampstand and the light that it puts out. It has pure beaten oil, as the scripture tells us, that's placed in there. Those wicks are constantly trimmed so that it brings out a full brilliance, made of pure gold. Golden walls, white linen ceiling, beautiful, beautiful place. But in order for you to come in and feed upon the bread that's on the table of showbread, you must, and in order to minister in there, you must have this light, because there is no other light, none. It's the only way that you can find your way. And the Word of God is spoken of as the bread of life. Need to feed upon the bread of life. Need to feed upon the Word of God. And that's what these priests would do. The Levites would come in with the light of the lampstand, and they would enjoy the fellowship and eating of this bread. They could not see a thing without it. It's the same thing with you and I. You cannot see anything until you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You must come by the way of the cross. Then that light is turned on, and you begin to see, and you begin to recognize and find the wisdom and the will and the power of God. That is what allows then our light to shine. But all that light comes from the Lord Jesus. The lampstand in the holy place stands for the Lord Jesus. Gives us the light that we need. And also then it allows us to reflect the light of Jesus. And so just a little bit, and you know, go back into the book of Exodus, and as they have exited out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and on to Mount Sinai, and everybody knows that at Mount Sinai they received the law, the Ten Commandments, but they also received all the information concerning the tabernacle, the building of it, because you see, every time that God brings judgment, which that's what the law did. We can't keep the law. The law condemns. He also hands us grace. And that grace was in the tabernacle, in bringing the offerings and the sacrifices, and then for them to come into the place of fellowship in the holy place. And so what a joy it is to study those things, to see the pictures that was painted so clearly of the coming Messiah. So please, as we look at this candlestick, it always that comes to my mind so quickly. It cannot be hid. This light that we have comes from our God, and it comes to all who do not willfully shut their eyes against it. You need to open your eyes and your heart unto the Lord Jesus. It will give light to all that are in the house, to all that will draw near to it and come where it is. Please, let your light shine. That shining and burning light in life and in conversation must be to others. That's our purpose, to reach others. And it must be for the purpose of others, for direction, for empowering, and for comfort. How must our light shine? Shines by our works. This is a command. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. I hope you are able to sit and enjoy and study your precious Bibles with me. First Corinthians chapter 6, the 20th verse. Here's something we all must remember. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You have been purchased. He said, well, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it. Well, if you have that kind of an attitude, the day you take your last breath, you're going to wake up in hell. The fires of hell, the gnashing of teeth, the forever burning and yet total darkness. Now, we can't imagine what that's like. It talks about the flames being a lake of fire. A lake of fire. Just think about that. You think about going into the water and drowning, or going into the water and it's cold. A lake of fire. That's your only option if you reject this book and God's way. It's by the Lord Jesus, not by any given church. Some churches claim to have the ownership of that. I don't care what name you put on it. Many of them do that. You could come and you could join this church and you could be baptized and you can serve and work and work and work. And if you neglect coming by faith to Jesus Christ, you're going to be in the fires of hell just like everybody else that went to the tavern every Sunday morning. You see, the church doesn't make it. It's your personal relationship that you have with Jesus. Have you asked and invited the Lord Jesus to come into your heart? Once again, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own. We are lights because we have been lit by the light. As in the room of the holy place, the only way you could see to function, the only way you could see to do anything, is because of the light of the Lord Jesus. And that allows us to serve because of His light. God never saves a person that He did not give a gift and a ministry to. There's a purpose for you. There's a purpose for me if you're born again. Don't think that purpose is just to show up on church on Sunday morning. And that's it. It's not. You're missing it. I question your salvation. We are all saved to serve. We're saved to serve. You know, it's been said that God makes us salt to preserve, salt to create in the heart of men a thirst for the things of God. Makes us salt. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. I love the precious word. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. You see, that's when it speaks of the baptism. It's immersion with the Spirit. And yes, there's a water baptism and immersion there. But that has nothing to do with salvation. Everything to do with the Holy Spirit coming within into your heart. saving you and residing with you forever. It says, not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which your Father hath put in his own power, but that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come up on you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Witnesses. There's the question. Let our light shine before men, the scripture says back here in this 16th verse. So let your light so shine before men. And again in the 15th verse, nor do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So the very light of the Lord Jesus, we are empowered then with his light, and it allows us to shine. And we are to shine with the power of the Holy Spirit, shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's in your hometown, in all Judea, that's the beyond that, Samaria, that would be an area that's kind of an outcast, and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, everywhere. Now, how do we do that? Let our light shine before men, as the scripture says here, once again, in verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. That means in their presence. That means by our action. That means by our testimony. That means by our witness. That does not mean that you are constantly sharing the gospel and giving witness, quoting scripture. It's by our service and our works and our countenance, our testimony, and then the words will come. But God will take his light that he has given us and reflects off us onto others, and it'll touch their lives. But we need to see that we can enjoy that, and we can present that, that they may see your good works. So before men, that is in their presence, we need to give a testimony. We that they see what we're doing in the name of Jesus. And when they see what we're doing in the name of Jesus, and it's our service, it's our work, it's our faithfulness to his local church, that is when people begin to recognize the difference. And they see our testimony. That's the important part. They see who we are and how we serve. We don't serve grudgingly. We serve willingly. We give. And that love will shine and touch others. And that's how we reach folks. Yes, through the proclaiming of the word, but also through our physical testimony. Things people see. It says, as natural salt creates a natural thirst, so the lives we live should cause men to thirst for the knowledge of our Savior. See how that works? See how that works? We are not to shine, be shining to our own glory, but to the glory of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works do not save. Good works do not add to our salvation. but good works should attract others, not to us, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Got some wonderful verses of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Once again, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's our purpose. Our purpose is to serve. Now let's go to Titus. As we go through the books of the Bible in our Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class, I said there's five T's. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we come to Titus. That's the five T's. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. More important, they're good and profitable unto God, but they're good and profitable unto men, which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works, so that folks can see good works. James chapter 2, book of Hebrews, then the book of James. James chapter 2, we'll go to verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If you have in your heart no desire to serve, no desire to help, no desire to give out the word of God and to serve in the local church, no desire to even come to the local church, it's just kind of a, well, I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. The scripture is very clear. Without works, you're dead. You don't have salvation. You have made a false and a fake confession. You need to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Down to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Works does not save. We continue to say that. But one who is saved, one who is alive in Christ, will serve, will work. There will be works. 1 Peter chapter 2. We just kind of keep working our way towards the back of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They need to see what we're made of. Then they'll start believing our words. You see, we have a kind of a twofold witness, what comes out of our mouth and what comes out of our lives. We must teach, we must preach in the clear, easy words as our Lord Jesus has taught us. What did he use? He used salt and light. He didn't use those big words. He didn't use these hidden meanings in there as far as the philosophy of everything. And that's of the world. Our witness, our testimony is very, very important. You may say that when you know, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I'm not hurting anybody but myself if someone gets hurt. Just me. That's not true at all. Because if you do confess to be a Christian and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then you're doing an awful lot of harm. Not only to yourself, but to those that you're supposed to be reaching, they're letting them go straight to hell. But worse than that, you're not bringing honor and glory unto our Father. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?